Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, so the president's still doing the cabinet. His cabinet meeting started at 10:30, and he's still there. Scoot is in the chat. We're happy to see him back there. But he said, President Trump looks a little drowsy or tired or something. Well, no sugar, Sherlock. I think we all would be. You've been in meetings like that before. You're like, oh my gosh, this thing will never end. And then you're like, gosh, I called this meeting. I'm going to pop it up here again. I've got it still going here on the White House. They're taking questions from the press. And it keeps going and going and going. Now, the president was supposed to speak from the White House at 1 o'clock from the Oval Office. We're checking in on that to see if we can get an update on what is going to be delivered there. Come on, let's see if this is going to work. Because they didn't say specifically what exactly they were going to be announcing at 1 o'clock from the White House. But let's listen in here. This is President Trump at, and you got to be ready on the dump button there because he's mm-hmm. said some colorful words here.
Impressions. I think this is the most transparent administration I've ever seen.
I'm impressed by these people. I'll tell you, how strong are you? You've been holding it for 2 hours. You know, there are very few physically, there are very few people who could do that. I'm very proud of you. I have no idea who you are, but you're strong.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, last week, militia groups in Iraq attacked the Crimson Region's gas field, the largest gas field, which even the U.S. companies invested in the energy sector in the Crimson Region. And the Crimson Prime Minister requested the United States to provide them some sorts of means and defense systems in defending their civilian infrastructure and U.S. investment in the Crimson Region. Are you willing to providing them the support? And if I had this question, tomorrow the United States is going to open an inaugural.
Can you speak louder?
Yeah, of course.
Is that possible? Yeah, the most gentle, beautiful voice back. Gentle person. Go ahead. Just take fewer words and louder.
Yeah, sure. I will repeat my first question. Last week, the Iraqi militia groups attacked one of the largest gas fields in the Kurdistan region of Iraq, which even the U.S. companies have invested in these gas fields.
Yeah. And then, are you from Iraq?
I'm from Kurdistan, Iraqi Kurdistan. I'm working for Ruda Media Network. And the Kurdistan region prime minister, he requested the United States to providing them some sort of defense system to defending these gas fields and U.S. investment in the Kurdistan region. Are you willing to helping them?
Well, we'll look at it. I heard about it, and I'm hearing about it more now, frankly. It wasn't at the top of my list. It's a very unusual question, I think, but I assumed you're from the area, and to you it's a very important question, and to me it is also, because people are being killed. I will say this, Iraq has been much different in terms of us than they were prior to us taking out the nuclear capability of Iran. You know, Iran has gone down many, many steps in terms of its fear factor. They were the bully of the Middle East, and they're really not the bully of the Middle East anymore. And Iraq was being bullied by Iran. You know, we had a president that thought it was brilliant to blow them up, and they blew them up, and all of a sudden, instead of having a power that was basically equal to Iran, they had Iran ruling the Middle East for a long period of time. But Iraq, from The day we hit him with those B-2 bombers and knocked out and obliterated, because CNN said, well, maybe it wasn't total obliteration. Well, it turned out it was totally obliteration. It was every single one of those missiles hit its target. It was actually amazing, but it was wiped out, totally wiped out. I will tell you, Iraq has been a much friendlier place. They talked to us. The prime minister actually nominated me, along with about 78 other countries, for the Nobel Prize. I'm the only one that was nominated by almost 100 countries that didn't get it. But that's okay. But I saved a lot of lives. I saved a lot of lives. But Iraq nominated us for the Nobel Prize, and that was a great honor. You know, we didn't expect that from Iraq. Iraq has been a much different place since the taking out of Iran and the nuclear capability. Yeah, let's get to another question.
Secretary Rubio mentioned the meetings ongoing in Russia today. Do you have any update from Mr. Wyckoff and Mr. Kushner?
No,
on
no
that,
update, because I've been spending too much time with you. I mean, we're spending a lot of time in here. We wanted to do this you talk about being open and transparent. This has to be the most transparent administration in history. We spent a lot of time answering your questions and giving you a lot of good, you know, good results. I mean, I think everybody here gave you good results. But no, I don't. I will have after I leave here.
But do you hope for a breakthrough, or is it not quite enough?
I don't know. Look, I don't know. All I can tell you is that we're trying very hard to save 25,000 to 30,000 people, mostly men, mostly soldiers, every month.
So President Trump's still speaking from the cabinet meeting there. The announcement that was supposed to be made at 1 o'clock from the Oval Office, that's not happening yet. There was a development today. I think maybe this is what Brad and I are researching this, what this announcement might be that was supposed to be scheduled for now. The Dell family of Dell computers what's the total investment on that? I know that it was $250 per kid.
Yeah, I think it worked out to be about $6.5 billion.
$1 billion that they're looking to invest in what are being referred to as Trump accounts. I don't know how they came up with that. But remember when they were saying at the beginning of 2026, well, actually, I think it's retroactive for 2025, that if you had a baby in 2025, they're going to get a Trump account. Essentially saying we're going to end, I think it was $1,000 maybe per kid was going to be put into an account and it was going to accrue interest over time. And gosh, I kind of feel like, gee whiz, can you trust the American people to handle this type of an investment? I think you can, because I think that's what the free society is built on, that the government doesn't take care of it for you because the American people are too stupid to take care of it for themselves. But I love the idea of an investment in children when they're born, money that it gets invested in their name that can't be touched by family members or anything like that, that it grows over the course of time, maybe begin to take access to it by the time you're 18 or something like that. But the Dell family has come out and said that they're going to invest $250 a kid, a baby. That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. And it's so amazing to see these incredibly wealthy people, you know, the big, bad, scary, rich people that became really rich in America, the land of opportunity, to see them see an opportunity to step in and put their money towards something without the government forcing their hand, or even worse, taking the money from them and telling them, you know, we're going to tax you to this extent. We're going to take your money and we're going to put it where we think is best. Shrimp on treadmills. That's still my favorite. Did that come out in the airing of grievances of Rand Paul? I feel like
that.
It did.
That is my memory, that it was the airing of grievances.
Have you ever seen a shrimp on a treadmill? You better go look at it, because you freaking paid for it. So we should be close to the airing of grievances. You know, I was thinking about this in the way, and this is a stupid, probably incredibly elementary position to take on this. The Democrats are very opposed to tariffs, right?
Yes.
Why? Pretty much just because Trump is for them. Mm-hmm. Why are they so opposed to taxing other people? why do they love taxing Americans so much, but they're so opposed to taxing other people? Now, listen, I am not an economist. I do like money. I do want more money. I do spend a lot of money on a family of six, and I send my kids to parochial school, not because I want them to not because I hate the public school system. I think there are a lot of problems with the public school system, but point to the school and I'll tell you that there are areas for improvement anywhere, any place, anytime. There are no perfect schools. But when I send my kids to a Lutheran school, guess what? The first thing they learn about? Jesus. That's why I invest in that. Because one thing you're not getting in a public school, outward education on Jesus. So that's a priority for me. And I'm happy to invest in my kids' future. And by future, I mean eternity, by sending them to a Lutheran school. When we take our time to look into how Americans want to live individually, how they want to live their lives, I'm interested in, you know, why people spend the money on the things that they do. I know certainly when I prioritize the budget that we have in our house, we've got to pay for we got to pay your bills. You got to put food on the table. We pay for our kids' education. Then after that, you figure out what you have left and you try to make the most of it. Taxes. Right now, I mean, if your tax return in 2026 comes back and it's four times bigger than it usually is that a windfall of money for you? It sure would be for us. It sure would be an incredible, game-changing circumstance to see that tax return come back at a much larger scale than it normally does. Now, here's the thing. A tax return is money that you've paid into the system that they're saying, nope, this goes back to you. That's different than a stimulus check. You've invested in a tax and you've paid your taxes over the course of time. If you're like me, I don't pay quarterly. I know a lot of you probably do pay quarterly. I don't pay quarterly. The money goes in. Annie, but that's an interest-free loan. I do not want to owe taxes come tax time. I do not want to owe taxes. Yes, I understand. Yes, I still owe them. I don't want to owe more than what I've already had withdrawn from my paycheck. I do want a tax return. I don't spend the time. I do have someone do my taxes, but I don't spend the time to like try to make it so it's zero. That's just what I've chosen to do. I'm sure that when I don't have four kids that I'm putting through school and everything, that maybe I will have a different opinion on it. But here, that's where we are right now. If you don't have to have as much money taken out of your paycheck, if you get to keep 85% of your paycheck when it comes to federal taxes instead of 80% of your paycheck just went up. Mm-hmm. Your checking account just went up. And that happened because of Donald Trump's policies. That happened because of Donald Trump's initiative to give the American people the opportunity to stimulate the economy with their own money. Not let's take money from all of the people and then we'll give it back to them in one way, shape or form. The president said today, and I don't know, tell me if we have this clip. Did you have the clip? I didn't tell you to get this, about where he talked about income taxes.
The president?
Yeah. He said earlier and by earlier, I mean hours ago at the same cabinet meeting that I think he's still in right now. He was talking about the tariffs and the success of the tariffs. He has said this for quite some time now. His goal is to tax other people, other countries, and to levy a tax against the trade that exists in a tariff and eliminate income taxes for you. That's actually being discussed right now. And of course, the Democrats are going to be like, oh, no, you can't do that. You have to tax the American people. And then they shouldn't say it like that. But that's what they're saying. You need to stick it to the Americans. If you... You know, a lot of people will say tariffs are causing the price of goods to go up. I don't know. Like I said, not an economist, not going to play one on the radio. If tariffs, if charging other countries on, you know, imports and exports as trade is going on, if that causes the price to go up on goods and services here in the United States, and I don't know that it will, but let's just agree with them for a second to say, oh, it's making things cost more. If you don't have to pay income tax and you have more money in your checking account, money that you earned, your money, the government is not allowing you to keep it. They're just not taking it from you anymore like they did before. Then we start to get more to a consumer tax situation where you are going to maybe pay more. I don't know if this is going to happen. I'm not predicting the future. I don't know. If I am right about this, then I got lucky. But if goods or services do end up costing a little bit more because of tariffs, the way some people suggest that they are going to, but you don't have to pay income taxes, then you're paying, then your expense is going to dictate where your tax money ends up going, as opposed to just going to the government where they launder it through a system to, you know, help socially, infrastructure, all these types of things, other places, based on what they determine is good with that dollar. I have to say, it really all comes down to, I trust Donald Trump. I understand if you don't. I understand if you look at Donald Trump and you're a little leery. You're like, gosh, I don't know. Sure as sugar, I am not trusting Joe Biden. I am not trusting Kamala Harris. I am not trusting Gavin Newsom. I am not trusting Zohran Mamdani. I am not trusting Tim Walz. I am not trusting Chuck Schumer. I am not trusting Hakeem Jeffries. I am not trusting Jasmine Crockett and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders, because they've never seen a dollar I've made that they don't think that they are entitled to. They believe that the money that you're making and the money that I'm making is best determined, its final destination, through the government. The money that you make to somebody like Bernie Sanders, they will allow you to keep a portion of it. That's the way they view it. That's the way the far left progressive Democrat Party views it. Not all Democrats view it that way, but the people who are speaking on behalf of Democrats today, that's how they view it. You're too stupid to manage your own money. Let them do it for you. You couldn't possibly know what the best thing to do with that dollar is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I trust Donald Trump. Proven track record when it comes to actual success. He was talking about the ballroom and how they work till midnight, apparently. I love it when he talks about the First Lady. I love it when he talks about the little conversations he and the First Lady have, which in my mind, I'm not 100% sure that they even have these little conversations. I don't know how often they're in the same place at the same time having these little conversations. I'm sure it happens. But he goes, the First Lady says to me, darling, would you tell them to stop the machines? I'm trying to sleep. And he goes, no, honey, I love that. I love that noise. That's progress. That's what he says. He believes that. He said at a different cabinet one time that the sound of construction, he goes, sounds to me like money. That's what he says. And he's implementing it because we chose him. We chose him to go do the things that he's doing. And I trust him. He could break my trust. I could be wrong. Totally open to that fact. But I don't think he's been wrong yet, and I don't think I've been wrong to trust him yet. Go grade the president on the Annie Fry YouTube channel right now. We would love to have your feedback, your vote. How do you grade President Trump's second term so far? A, B slash C, D, or F? Got 165 votes in right now. Let's see here. Mark Anderson says A plus. Only complaint I have is the deportations are not happening fast enough. More housing available in these areas and Americans can become employed. Scooter said I chose F because of the economic and foreign policy failures. And Joe disagrees with Scooter, says I chose A because of the economic and foreign policy successes. So there you have it. A little bit for everybody. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote. We'll be right back. Back to the Annie Fry Show. How rude it is to interrupt Bing Crosby when he's doing his thing. I always know where I am the first time in a Christmas season that I hear Bing Crosby's White Christmas. It's like the official start of the Christmas season for me. And the first time I heard that was our last, I think it was our last volleyball practice of the fall season, which was the first full week of November. I would let the girls pick some music to play. We'd listen to like show tunes. They'd like to listen to 2010s pop music, which is interesting to me. But the last day they were like, let's listen to Christmas music. So I put on a Spotify Christmas playlist and got to hear Bing Crosby. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's the official start. So I'm curious how your Christmas Christmasing is going on. Are you having success? Are you shopping? Are you decorating? We got all of our decorating done at our house. Black Friday, my husband did the outside. And the snow was coming on in Friday, so it was like, get the outside done as fast as you can. Now, I've had many conversations over the years about my husband and going on to the roof to put the lights up. I love Christmas lights. I love the lined gingerbread house. My personal favorite, what we had on our house, was the bigger bulbs. C9s, is that what they are, I think?
Yeah.
C9s. C9 and red and white. So like a little candy cane type of a thing. To the point where we couldn't find them to buy them. We had to make them. So you had to buy red and white strands of lights and then unscrew all the bulbs, every other bulb, in each strand and then make them red and white, which is really frustrating when one light bulb goes out and you've got to like find the bulb and so on and so forth. But we have a two-story house. We have a walkout basement. So in the back, it's a three-story house. If you go, you have a fight with gravity and, of course, lose. And it was so stressful for me to watch my husband scaling around up there. And he's like, it's fine. It's easy. It's no problem. Like, I'm like, sure. Until you fall off the roof. So I think last year was the first year I was like, let's just put a ton of stuff on the ground. We've got wreaths in the window, big wreath on the house. And we just don't put lights on the top of the roof anymore. It's just, I'm thinking of like, if he fell off the roof, it would be my fault because he was up there doing it for me. And I was like, you can't. Just don't do it anymore. I just am. I hope that you have had a successful decorating season. He got everything out front. We had one sign. It's a joy. It spells joy. Big letters. I think the letters are like 3 feet tall. It didn't light up. What do you do with that? You just throw it away?
I mean, I guess it depends on how much you want to make it work, because you can add lights back to it.
No, it's like
Are they like interior lights?
No, well, the letters are, there's like they're like kind of boxy, so there are ornaments that are inside the letters, and then the lights are inside the ornaments that we would have to like...
Oh, yeah, take it apart and...
I don't think it would look good after we got done trying to fix it. I guess, I don't know if he just threw it away or whatever, but it was huge. Just toast. I've been trying this year to look at, you know, when you think about, if you're Christian and Christmas is about the birth of Jesus and all that, and for a lot of people listening, I know it is. For some of you listening, it's not that. You could be celebrating Hanukkah. You could celebrate a commercial, secular version of Christmas. Okay. But for me, of course, it's about the birth of Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm raising my kids to be and prioritize that Christianity portion of Christmas. But I was at Home Goods the day before Thanksgiving, Wednesday, and I was looking for placemats. I wanted placemats for my table, and I didn't want to spend a lot of money on them. So go to Home Goods and try to find a good set of placemats. Spend less than $30 on it if I can. Find the placemats. But when I walked in, there was this beautiful nativity scene, and the nativity was like a silhouette of, you know, standard fare, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, shepherds, wise men, who weren't there then, but, you know. it's kind of a nerd thing to say. Epiphany, people. So I'm looking at this thing. It's beautiful. It's gold, and it's got kind of like a... kind of like a burlap background to it, and it's flat. It's in my, I saw it immediately. I'm like, this needs to go on the mantle, centerpiece on the mantle with a heavy wood frame of the manger. And so I bought it. I wasn't does anybody go into Home Goods and only buy what you went in there for? I mostly go into Home Goods to browse. But I thought I did well because I bought the placemats, I bought some linen napkins, and a manger scene. And it was only $39. So I was thinking, I'm doing okay. And it's this nice, heavy thing. And I took it into the house, hadn't put any Christmas decorations up yet because Thanksgiving is the next day. We're hosting, and I'm not going to put a bunch of Christmas stuff up. I just didn't have time. But I take it, and I set it on top of the mantle, and it just was perfect there. It's the centerpiece of the living room right there on the top of the mantle. The mantle had pretty much, I'd cleared off, or didn't have a lot of stuff on it anyway. And I love Christmas decorations. I love, like, just keep putting them up. I could keep putting them up all Christmas season. And I put it up there. And it was just enough. And I looked at it for a moment, and I was thinking about, like, getting into the deep-rooted purpose of Christmas, again, for my family, which is the birth of Christ. Like, all of the things, I feel a little bit of an obligation to do all of the holiday things for my family, for the kids. They want to see the same decorations out. We've got this Hallmark thing, and I think they put these out every year, but you press it and it's these two snowmen and they like bop up and down and they dance and they sing like, I'm gonna need some candy canes, I'm gonna need some chocolate chips and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of cookie dough. They can sing the whole thing. They don't hear it for 11 months of the year. It comes out and they press that button until the batteries die. So this year I haven't changed the batteries from the last year where they're already dead. So I think they think it's broke. Hopefully they don't know that they could just change the batteries, and hopefully they're not listening from their snow day at home right now and changing the batteries as we speak. But all of these decorations, they get put out every year. You remember the sentimental decorations. You probably remember the silly things that mom put out at your house that it's like, that's Christmas. It's a little trinket. And that is in some way, shape, or form an embodiment of your youth at Christmas. This little thing that you see. And when it comes out, you just have that, oh, yes, that thing. I don't know what that thing is for you. I can think of the manger scene that we had when I was growing up. We had one art project, I think I was in seventh grade, at Trinity Lutheran School in Edwardsville, and we cut out and stitched together these felt doves, and you'd stitch it together, and you'd stuff it full of cotton, and it's just this cute little thing, but it's like, okay, kids, don't listen right now. Sometimes your kids bring home art projects, and they actually look nice. I mean, every time your kids bring home art projects, it is the most heartwarming thing. You have to keep all of them. All of them you have to keep. You walk near the trash can, they follow you around. And they're like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Why do you have that art project that I made with my heart and soul and handed to you with love? And you're like, I was going to put this on the mantle too. But I made that little dove and it's really cute. It's got a little leaf in its mouth, and my mom always hung it from the chandelier in the living room where we had Christmas. I put up this manger scene on the top of my mantle, and nothing else is out in the room yet. And I just looked at it and I thought, gosh, the simplicity of this decoration, but more importantly, the simplicity of the first Christmas. How easy it is to forget all about a bed of hay, a manger scene, and that began Christmas. And all of the things that I get in the way, in my mind, nobody's doing this to me. It's not being done to me. I'm giving in to every, you know, quote, obligation that gets put upon me that I have to do during the Christmas season. Have to be here, have to be there, have to buy this, have to get that, have to make this, have to bake that. Those are all choices. You have choices in all of these obligations that you feel that are being put upon you. If it is taking away from the simplicity of the purpose of Christmas, get rid of it. Don't do it. Say no and spend time being still. Spend time appreciating This sounds very cheesy. I understand that. But the actual gift that started Christmas. And the more simple things get, the more you will actually appreciate the intention of the recognition of Christmas. Yes, from a Christian standpoint, I'm saying this, but I would even venture to say that if you wanted to remove the Christian element of it, and Christians can do this too, you can appreciate Christmas on a variety of fronts. You can appreciate Christmas as the recognition of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but you can also recognize Christmas as an opportunity to understand the value of spending time with loved ones. The value, the heartwarming sensation of giving, the gratitude of getting. You can understand and accept all of those things with a Christian foundation, without a Christian foundation. I just think that the Christian foundation makes it a warmer, broader appreciation. But you don't need all the stuff. You don't need all the things. It doesn't have to be Instagram perfect all of the time, because nothing ever actually is. The reason you're envious of the Instagram perfect pictures is because nobody actually has that. And the framing and the time and the effort it took to make that snapshot worth it, that's not life. That's just a picture. I have been compelled this year more than ever to be cool and comfortable with keeping it really simple. I've kind of told myself, like, Annie, you can't manage all of this. You can't do all of this. You can't accomplish all of this. And I'm like telling myself that regularly as an active goal, because I know that I can't. So I might as well kind of own it, but I didn't like it. This year I decided, I think I'm going to like it. I think I'm going to appreciate simplicity so that I don't miss the 30, 45 days, however long some of you might celebrate Christmas, the Christmas season. I don't want to miss it. Because I was obligated the whole time. And if you're feeling obligated on December 2nd, release the obligations that aren't actually helping you celebrate, recognize, and appreciate why we're doing any of this in the first place. Let it go. Just let it go. And then sit still for 5 minutes and go, yeah, this is better. Let's take a quick break. We're going to connect with Amy Colvin here in a minute. It's Giving Tuesday. You want to talk about giving. This is an important day. Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit as well. Cyber Monday. Giving Tuesday, that's today. I'm going to give you an opportunity to make an impact on a local St. Louis family, bi-state Missouri, Illinois family here in a minute. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So as I was talking,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
talking about before we went to a break. It is Giving Tuesday. I want to talk a little bit more a little bit later about Small Business Saturday, because that thing got snowed out, and my heart's breaking for a lot of our small business friends out there who were not able to capitalize on Small Business Saturday. So we're going to get to that in a little bit. But I don't want to pass up the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about Giving Tuesday, and a place that I am very, very connected to, love and support, and want you to feel comfortable loving and supporting as well, is the Lutheran Elementary School Association. Those Lutheran schools, elementary and high schools in the bi-state area, they can use your help today. So let's bring our friend Amy Colvin on, who is with LESA, the Lutheran Elementary School Association. Amy, thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon. It's good to have you here.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andy, for always supporting LESA and all that we do with Lutheran schools.
Well, we've had a good year with you folks this year. We started off in, I think it was at the end of January, with the scholarship drive for the Annie Fry Show scholarship to help kids in the area get the financial assistance they need to be able to attend a Lutheran school. But that's what you guys do all year. You try to make this possible. Tell me about the Lutheran schools in the Missouri and Illinois area here that people can check out at lisastl.org.
Sure. Yes, we had a great start to the year, and we should start to see some dividends. It's almost a year, so usually that's about the time we start to see some dividends that will affect our scholarship program, which is one of the things that we do, tuition assistance, this last year for our 34 elementary schools in the bi-state area and our 4 high schools, but we provide tuition assistance for the elementary schools. We were able to provide $588,000 in support to over 700 students who applied for our scholarship that gave access to private Christian education. And we believe that we appreciate all that people do in private education all the way, but of course where our support is with our Lutheran education and what we want to do with that. We're preschool through 12th grade. A lot of private education, Christian education doesn't start till kindergarten. So we have a preschool program that we support. And our programs also support the professional development. We recently had a principal win a national award for integrating new cultures. They have 17 different cultures in their school, and she has done a lot of programming and integrating and staffing to make sure that everyone feels welcome and included in her school. And so our teachers and our principals are always doing things to increase the quality of the education that happens in our schools. Plus, we have provide access. And then, of course, it's just one of the big things that we do is faith-based curriculum. I mean, I don't care if it's math or PE. Every year, we're upgrading curriculum that is faith-based and integrating biblical principles into every section of the curriculum that we do in Lutheran schools.
Yeah, I'm so appreciative of the way with which Lutheran schools carry their business. And I know I being a product of Lutheran elementary schools, graduating from a Lutheran high school at Metro East Lutheran High School, I went to school with a lot of kids who were not Lutheran. They were Catholic, they were Baptist, Presbyterian, you know, all the different types of non-denominational, some kids that didn't even have a specific church affiliation, that sought out Lutheran schools for the environment, for the, you know, biblical based education. It was a reliable place that you could turn your kids over to. And I'm talking about the 90s. This in the 2020s, I think a lot of people are looking for an opportunity for something different. Might have a great public school system where they are, but they just want something more. It's not always about everything else being bad. It's just maybe they want something more specific. They want to feel comfortable turning their kids over to the educators, to the administration, to the peers that they might experience at a Lutheran school. You know, what are some of the reasons that you see, Amy, that people decide, yeah, I think we're going to make the switch. I think we're going to try a Lutheran school.
Yeah, it's definitely all of the things that you mentioned. I think the safety is a big thing that comes forth to a lot of the principals when people are doing school tours or finding out, I just want to feel like my child is safe in school. And that's a lot of different things. That's emotionally and physically in what they do. And then they want that education that is based on the founding parts of education, so arithmetic and reading and all the things. And then the only other thing, of course, we have lots of good electives that are, you know, STEM-based and all those kinds of things. But the other thing that fills our curriculum is the faith-based education. So they're looking for all of that. They want to be able to talk about Jesus in school. They want their kids to be able to pray. They want the weekly chap, plus they want safety, and they want excellent education. So, you know, we're really a trifecta on many ways of that. Mm-hmm. And so we're so thankful to be able to provide that to the community. And in so many places, you know, we have 10,000 students in the metro area. And so there we have, and like we said, an 80-mile square radius of 34 schools and 4 high schools. And one's on the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Fall 26th down in Washington, Missouri, we're going to have another high school.
That's so exciting.
So it's very exciting. God's doing some great things with the Lutheran schools. And our faculty and staff, the people that work in our schools, are truly faith-filled people. I mean, they want to be there and they're sharing the love of God. I see the love and I see that in their eyes and in their hearts and in their manner. I aspire to be them because they just radiate God every day. And that's the kind of person I want my child with, mm-hmm. and my children were with, the kind of people who radiate those things and can teach them what God has for them.
We're speaking with Amy Colvin with the Lutheran Elementary School Association. Before I let you go, it is Giving Tuesday. I want to ask you to tell us the most simple way. When I go places, Amy, people always say, thank you for what you're doing for Lutheran education, for getting the word out. They're grateful that this show has been able to partner with you to continue to keep Lutheran education top of mind for so many people. A lot of people listening right now have been blessed by Lutheran education, and I'm asking them today to make a donation, maybe to the Annie Fry Show Scholarship. But how can people connect with Lisa today to impact a child in the St. Louis Bi-State region and help them access that Lutheran education?
Sure. Just go to the website, Lisa, LESASTL.org. And you will find a way to donate to the Annie Fry Scholarship. You'll find a way to just donate to all of our programs, whether it's STEM, the general fund, tuition assistance, whatever is the ministry that excites you as a part of the overall ministry. And today is a great day. And, you know, we are putting out some information on how to give through donor advised funds. But, you know, a legacy like you did, Annie, with the show, an endowment, that's a great way. But just giving a $1 gift, a $5 gift, you know, $100 gift, $1,000 gift pays for a student for a year.
That's amazing.
You know, yeah. Those kinds of things.
Well, we want to continue to support you. I certainly do, Amy, your entire team there with Lisa and what you're doing for local kids. It's fantastic. It couldn't be done without you guys and your support. It certainly couldn't be done without the support of our listeners out there who are going to step up and make that their Giving Tuesday donation today. Thank you for the time this afternoon. I hope you're having a great Christmas season. We look forward to having you back.
Thank you, Annie. Thanks for all you do to support this. We couldn't be more thankful and appreciative of our partnership and you bringing light to Lutheran education in the area.
Well, we will keep going.
Advent blessings to you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye. Amy Colvin with the Lutheran Elementary School Association on a Giving Tuesday. Lisa, LESASTL.org. Go check them out. Like she said, you got a dollar to spare? Give it to Lisa today, and they will be able to put it to good work. We're going to do, hopefully, another scholarship drive in 2026, so stay tuned for that. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America with Ethan, next.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Not Wiggins America. Ethan's America.
Disappointed!
Ethan's America.
You know, I had a thought last night. Was lying in bed, staring at the ceiling.
Thinking about Ryan.
Most certainly was not thinking about Ryan. I was thinking about my reaction to my Wiggins America open, Ethan's America.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, do you happen to get maybe a little dramatic? You kind of, you know, throw a fit every single time it plays. And then I reminded myself of what the intro is actually saying, and I was like, nope, it's justified. It's 100% justified. I'm going to continue to throw a fit every single time.
Over and over and over again.
I'm going to continue to throw a fit every freaking time.
You know, you could remake your intro, and we could use that, and we could play it. Ryan's not in charge of any of that. He's in charge of very little.
What if, you ever seen The Water Boy?
Yeah.
What if, like, you know how there's that chant, water sucks. It really, really, yeah? Remember that part?
Yes. I think I saw that movie one time.
Maybe if I replace water with Ryan, and
so,
that's all it is.
There you go. And just, if you were Ryan, you wouldn't even try to make it sound good. It would just be like, Ryan.
I do it like it, yes.
Ryan.
In an AI voice.
Yeah.
Ryan sucks. It really, really, yep. That's, all right.
I mean, if you want to put the effort into it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how I'm feeling.
Okay.
So.
I think I felt so bad for Bobby Boucher, I couldn't watch it again. I'm not joking.
Well, this winter weather just kind of hit out of nowhere. It was amazing. November, the majority of November felt great outside. You know, we had 50s, 60s, even in the 70s some, and then bam, it just this cold weather just hit out of nowhere.
Emeril Lagasse, is that his name? Ragasse? Do you know who that is?
Mm-mm.
Go on.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh.
Emeril.
Are you okay? I have no idea what's happening right now.
Yeah. He was a chef, and when he was a very popular TV chef, and whenever he would add something to a dish, he would say,
bam.
Bam!
Okay, gotcha.
And you just did the Emeril Lagasse thing.
I did the Lagasse.
But you didn't know it.
I'm a Lagasse.
Good story.
Well, like I said, this winter has most certainly made its way to the St. Louis area. I'm assuming that everyone got home all right here with the show yesterday.
You don't need to panic. Mm-hmm. It was like a 35-minute drive home. It was maybe 10 to 15 minutes longer for me to get home yesterday than everybody else.
It certainly was better on the Illinois side than it was on the Missouri side, but
it's the one thing that's better over there.
There was no reason to panic and everyone leave work as quickly as they did. I mean, I left at my normal time, and the roads were fine. It took me like 10 minutes longer than it usually does. But I have some information for you guys out there to know, you know, how can you be, you know, saving on energy? How can you be, you know, kind of trying to thread the needle as far as the thermostat goes? I got some numbers for you. So I looked into what was the perfect temperature to keep your home during these winter months. Annie, what do you keep yours at?
67.
You liar. Annie, you're better than that.
It literally is 67.
Is it actually?
Yes.
Okay.
You
Brad?
Know why?
What, why? Why? Why, Annie?
Because it's 6'7". And it's, man, the highlighter throw is my move.
I know.
Usually to get people's
attention.
How's
it feel?
It kind of hit my tip of my thumb. Actually, it is 67 is what we would set it at night on the air conditioner in the summer. And
67 in the summer?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cold for
keep
the summer.
Cool.
Wait until you have children, and you want them to stay in their beds. So you make it chilly in the house, they get tucked underneath their blankets, and they stay there, and they're nice and cozy, they sleep through the night.
Okay.
And then I got used to it.
Brad?
68.
68. The U.S. Department of Energy agrees with Brad. 68 degrees is the perfect temperature in the winter for when you're awake. But it actually kind of agrees with Annie at night because it says a little bit lower when you're asleep or away from home. And the energy.gov says that is the sweet spot. Energy costs have been climbing. They have spiraled as high as 41% since 2020, raised 41% since 2020. J.D. Power reports the average electric bill is $184 a month. Average gas bills are about $141 a month, and water is around $99 a month right now. So
House is set at 65 or 67, but the fireplace is on while we're up. So that room, nice and cozy. Mm-hmm. My husband hates it. It's like, it'll be like 74 in the room. But
because
the rest
of the
house,
because
of the fireplace.
That's great.
X's and Y's in the 2 o'clock hour. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.